It's a foggy night on old Cape Cod. A perfect night for our mystery. Tonight, Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater presents a Titanic mystery thriller entitled Mr. Hugo's Night to Remember. It is Sunday night, April 14th, 1912. The time is just past seven bells in the first night watch. 11:40 p.m. The location is latitude 41 degrees, 52 minutes north. Longitude 50 degrees, 22 minutes west. A point in the North Atlantic, approximately 400 miles off Cape Race, Newfoundland. The steamer Californian is stopped for the night. Her engines shut down. She drifts before an immense field of pack ice. The moonless night is calm, bitterly cold, and as black as the dazzle of icy stars overhead will allow. A watchman in a wool cap and sea coat stands upon the upper deck of the Californian, smoking a cigarette while he watches one bright star on the eastern horizon grow larger and brighter. Gradually, the light becomes elongated into a string of lights, and he recognizes it for what it is, a ship. A large passenger liner heading west-southwest on a course parallel to their own. Which ship it is, he's not sure, although perhaps, had he thought about it, he might have remembered that this is the week the Titanic is scheduled to make her maiden voyage from Southampton to New York.
Well, take a look at who's up.
The man on deck is joined by another.
Brr, how do you stand it out here?
I stay warm as long as I keep smoking. When I stop smoking, I go in.
They speak in the kind of hushed undertones one automatically assumes when speaking in the presence of so many stars.
What's that ship out there?
I don't know. I've been watching her coming up. She's a liner, judging by the way she's lit up.
Could be the Titanic. Evans says she's somewhere around. He's been picking up her messages all day over the wireless, jamming the airwaves. They even cut him off in mid-sentence when he was giving them the warning about the ice.
She's moving right along. What's she making, 20 knots? She better think about slowing down soon unless she's figured out how to do what Moses did and make this ice field miraculously part itself. Are you sure she got the message about the ice?
She got it all right. Every ship in the North Atlantic is aware of it.
The two men continue gazing out at the ship, which after a time appears to have stopped some 10 miles distant. Several minutes pass. Then.
Look at that. She's putting on a fireworks display.
Well, what do you know?
Must be having a party. Maiden voyage, after all. Ah, there's the difference between them and us, buddy boy. When we stop for the night, we all go to bed. When they stop, they just keep right on celebrating. What must it be like? A maiden voyage on a fancy liner? Hey, there goes another. Now, how do we know for sure it's a party? Maybe you better go wake Evans up and have him call over there.
He won't appreciate being waken.
Well, just the same, maybe you better go do it.
Okay, but I'm saying it was your idea.
When he gets through, tell him to have somebody row over and deliver us a couple of bottles of champagne.
A little fire to row, don't you think?
If they're drunk enough, they won't think so. Hey, hold it a minute.
What is it?
Come on back up here.
What is it?
Listen to that. They're playing music. That's music. Ah, well, we can forget about the emergency. They wouldn't be playing music if that was the case. They're all soused as spouses over there, And they made the band go outside so they can dance under the stars. They're so drunk they can't even feel how cold it is.
Yeah, well, I can. And I'm going in.
Must it be like maiden voyage on a fancy liner like that? Beautiful women in satin gowns, tuxedos, champagne, silver cigarette cases. It must be one never-ending revelry.
Sound envious?
Yeah, maybe a little. Sure, maybe I'd trade places for a night like tonight, but that'd be enough. This life suits me just fine.
Yeah? Well, I'm going in. I hate watching the celebration. I can't be a part of.
Oh, me too. I'm going to bed. There's a party for me tonight. It'll have to be one taking place in my dream.
Ted Bicknell, and this is Worldview Tonight. Tonight, salvaging the Titanic, archaeology or scavenging. Our focus this evening, the salvage operation now underway to bring back artifacts from the sunken Titanic. An operation not without risk and certainly not without controversy, as there are those who feel the Titanic should rightfully be left alone. Tonight, we'll speak with Mrs. Eva Hart, Dame Hartley, who was just 12 years old and a passenger on the Titanic the night it went down. And we'll be going by satellite to the actual location in the North Atlantic where the crew of the salvage ship, Glomar II, are making last-minute preparations for the initial dive down to the wreck. We'll speak with Hugo Legrand, the great Hugo, as he bills himself, the organizer and leader of the expedition. First, for our viewers who need filling in on the nature and scope of this enterprise, we have arranged to show you this bit of footage borrowed from our affiliate sister station, WPPX. Let's see that now.
They're doing it again! 75 years after her sinking, RMS Titanic is about to be revisited. Only this time, it won't be just any enterprising visitor happening by, but none other than media blitzman himself, entrepreneur Hugo Legrand, the great Hugo. Yes, the great Hugo, renowned for his adventuresome expeditions to test the greatness and legends of the world. Loch Ness, Bigfoot, Abominable Snowman, and the Bermuda Triangle is about to confront a real-life legend as he becomes one of the few human beings on Earth to come face-to-face with the sunken Titanic. Like standing on the moon or standing on Everest, this is not the sort of trip that any but the most adventurous will ever take. But leave it to the great Hugo to take up the challenge. They'll be going down 13,000 feet, where water pressure exceeds 3.5 tons per square inch. Want to find out what that feels like? Try balancing a Cadillac on your toe. Centerpiece of the expedition is the mini-submarine dubbed the Hugo 1, which the great Hugo and his pilot will take down to the wreck. Let's take a closer look at this amazing submersible. The hull of the capsule a mere 2 inches thick. Not so thick to withstand over 77,000 tons of water pressure bearing down. But this is not ordinary metal, it is titanium, strongest metal known to man. Virtually uncrushable. Central feature of the submarine is the 2.5 mile long tether to the mothership, which supplies the enormous extra power enabling it to accomplish tasks far greater than any of its predecessor submarines. Anyone for arm wrestling? Check out those two robot arms, powerful hydraulic manipulators. They can extend a full 8 feet and are capable of picking up objects much heavier than the bikini-clad volunteer seen here.
Unhand her, you cad!
Sailing day arrives at last, and it's a beautiful day with banner blue skies and brilliant sunshine as the crew of the Glomar II prepare for departure. A crowd of happy onlookers line the dock, many of whom have been here since early morning when the complimentary champagne fest began flowing. The great Hugo is known for his gala send-offs, and this one doesn't disappoint. And there's the traditional two-toot salute as the Glomar II drops her loins and pulls away from the pier. The crowd sends up a boisterous yell. And there's the great Hugo himself appearing on the poop deck, waving a confident goodbye to the crowd. With streamers flying, it's bon voyage. They're off to the open ocean.
With me here in the studio tonight is Dame Eva Hartley. Dame Hartley, you were on board the Titanic that night. How does all of this strike you?
I think it's despicable. It would be far better left alone as an undersea memorial like they were calling for. What these people are doing, they're like little boys with their hands in the candy jar. Someone should slap their hands.
Let's go directly now to the Glomar II at sea and bring in Mr. Hugo. Mr. Hugo, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, yes, I hear you.
Mr. Hugo, why do this?
Why do it? Well, of course, because we can. Because it's there. We live in a world of advanced technology. Our reach extends now even into the furthest corners of the globe. It's our destiny to go there.
Go there, perhaps, but why bring anything back?
Well, Ted, it wouldn't be much of a salvage operation if we didn't. Oh, I know what you're getting at. Of course the Titanic was a disaster, but there are other disasters, hundreds of shipwrecks, salvaged every day. Why, if we were to memorialize every accident where there's loss of human life, we'd have to bronze every automobile crash, every train wreck, every plane that falls out of the sky. Oh, pretty soon those things would begin to clutter up the landscape. The world belongs to the living, Ted, not to the dead.
Dame Hartley?
It is precisely for the sake of the living that we ought to leave it alone. There were things that happened that night, things I saw that I will never forget. Tremendous acts of courage and heroism, selflessness, people willingly sacrificing their own lives for the sake of others, not only family and loved ones, but perfect strangers. Tenderness and compassion, that's what I saw, and that's the lesson we need to bring back, not curios and souvenirs. I was 12 years old when my father picked me up and kissed me and set me into a lifeboat and then waved goodbye for the last time. There hasn't been a day gone by that I haven't returned to walk those decks again in my mind. Now that I'm old, I've come to realize that all my life I have been walking the decks of the Titanic. So do we all, every moment we are living. The death the victims of the Titanic faced is the same death we all face. Theirs was abbreviated. For most of us, it tends to be drawn out, but in the end, it's the same. And always, always, it's how we handle it that matters. It's the way in which we approach things that makes all the difference.
Very moving, Dame Hartley. Mr. Hugo, how do you respond? Mr. Hugo, how do you respond?
Oh, sorry, Ted, I wasn't listening. We're awful busy here getting ready. Listen, would you tell Mrs. Survivor, I've forgotten her name, that it will be my personal privilege to bestow upon her a souvenir artifact of her choice.
I don't want anything. I wouldn't accept it.
In fact, I'm going to make certain we bring back something extra special to send to her. Will you tell her that?
Tell him no. Tell him to go away. Brave robbers.
Mr. Hugo, many are calling for the Titanic to be recognized as an undersea memorial.
Hey, and I agree. That's precisely what I'm doing. Because having these objects in a display where people can go and see them is the best way to remind
folks
about...
That's the only reason?
What's that?
That's the only reason you're doing it. Not for money, not for prestige and notoriety. Those aren't trophies you're bringing back, are they?
Mr. Anchorman, what you don't seem to realize is I'm a showman. Some say I'm the world's greatest showman. What you have here is the world's greatest showman going down to look at the world's greatest shipwreck.
And bringing back plunder and loot.
Well, it's customary for those to assume the risk to deserve the spoils. Fact is, the ship is resting in international waters. It belongs to no one.
Or everyone.
Well, same thing. Everybody, nobody. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to get ready.
You're not afraid, Mr. Hugo?
Afraid? What for?
You're going down a great depth, relying on your equipment. Some say a voyage to the bottom of the sea is like a voyage into outer space. What if something should go wrong?
Mr. Bicknell, danger is my forte. I thrive on it. Why, that doesn't mean I'm foolhardy. Why, the way to prepare for danger is to be prepared. This submarine that you see here is the safest, most sophisticated salvage submersible ever devised. I had a direct hand in every step of its design. Nothing will go wrong because we've thought of everything.
That sounds a lot like what they said about the Titanic.
Oh, yes, I see. You're very clever. But this baby here happens to be made of titanium. Indestructible. Why, the fact is, if the Titanic hull had been made of the same stuff, there would be nothing down there for any of us to go and bring back. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must continue getting ready. Pardon me. Why are you standing there?
Me, sir?
Well, I'm not talking to the electric winch, you idiot. I asked you why you are standing there.
I'm attending this line, sir.
Well, go and tend it somewhere else. Can't you see you're standing in my way?
Sorry, sir, sorry.
Good evening, Mr. Hugo. Are we all ready?
I am ready, Captain, of that much I'm sure.
Oh, good. If you'll just step this way, I think we're all ready for you. It's a little rough this evening. Oh, but you won't notice that once you start down. Now, why don't I hold your cloak, and if you'll just climb these stairs
and
set up
for you. And where is Mr. Smalley?
Oh, he's already inside waiting for you.
Now, let me see. How do I go about... this.
Well, sir, if you'll just try sitting down on the top step,
sitting.
And then swinging your legs inside the hatch.
Very well.
That's it. There we go. Now, if you want to try hopping across and sitting on the lip of the hatch...
It won't tip, will it?
Oh, no, no, sir. Not while it's in the hoist.
Ah, I see. Well, Mr. Smalley, are you in there?
Yes, sir. Right here.
Ready for me, are you?
Yes, sir. Ready?
No. Let me see.
Well, just hop over.
Hop.
That's okay. That's okay. You're all right.
There we are.
Now you can just slide in.
Right. All right. Here I go. They don't make these hatch openings very large, do they? I seem to be having,
Try sucking your breath in. That may help.
Yes.
Mr. Hugo, I'm going to try pushing on
your
shoulder.
Yes,
just
try
a bit
pushing.
If you don't mind.
Not too hard. Not too...
Everybody all right in there?
Stupid fool, I said not too hard.
Sorry, sir.
Oh, I would have made it. It's practically inside already.
Mr. Smalley, how about you?
Yes, I think so.
Sure?
He's fine. Close the hatch lid and let's get on with this.
All right, gentlemen. Bon voyage. Good luck. Hoist away! Take her up!
Craig, do you read me?
Right here.
Systems check.
Swing out! Divers in the water! Watch that light!
It's awfully warm in here. Switch on the air conditioning.
Sorry, sir. There's no climate control.
No what?
No air conditioning.
You're,
no heat either.
You're kidding.
Well, don't worry. We'll cool off as soon as we begin our descent. In fact, when we get down there, you'll probably wish we had some of this heat. Water temperature is about 33 degrees at the bottom. Craig, give me a reading on how much power you're sending.
I'm showing 2,500 right on the nose.
Lower away! Lower away!
Who is the idiot at the controls?
It's not his fault, sir. We're a lot of weight, and it's difficult for the hoist to...
Excuses, Mr. Smalley. I do not wish to hear excuses. God, this is terrible. When are we going to stop this rolling and...
It won't be long, sir. Camera's working. Battery's functional. Scrubber operational.
I thought you said there was no air conditioning.
No, sir, that's just the air scrubber. All it does is remove excess CO2.
Well, leave it on anyway.
Yes, sir, it won't do any good.
I said leave it on!
Yes, sir.
It's rocking and heaving. What's that?
It's just the Zodiac. It's coming to pick up the divers. Craig, before they go, could you have them check the forward ballast clamp, will you?
How much ballast are we carrying?
1,200 pounds, sir. There are four lead plates. Each weigh about 300 pounds.
Mr. Smalley, if you do not get us out of these waves and out of this heat...
Yes, sir.
Right
yes,
this minute,
sir.
I...
Yes, sir. Craig?
Yeah?
I think we'll go ahead.
Okay.
Mr. Hugo, that is, I think we'd like to get started.
Okay, your call. Clear to dive.
Clear to dive. Cast off. Releasing compressed air. Flooding tanks. Here we go. Beginning descent.
Of time.
Liftoff, is it? It's more like going down in an elevator.
Why are we leaning like this?
We're a little, heavy up front. Don't worry, I can take care of it.
What's that?
It's called a mercury pump.
Oh.
What it is a series of hollow metal spheres, about the size of bowling balls. And they're all connected in a row. Inside is mercury, and by pumping mercury from one sphere to the next, we can keep adjusting our weight until we reach horizontal trim. It'll take a few minutes.
How long till we reach bottom?
Well, let me see. Right now, we're sinking at a rate of 1.5 feet per second. That should get us there in about 2 hours, 35 minutes.
That long?
Of course, it took the Titanic a lot less time, but then it had over 46,000 tons of negative buoyancy pulling it down. All we've got is 1,200 pounds of lead. If we had more, we could get there faster. Then we'd have to worry about slowing down before we reach bottom. Even as it is, we're falling at a pretty good clip.
Well, how do we then?
What's that, sir?
How do we slow down?
Oh, by dropping one of the ballast plates just before we reach bottom. That'll cut our rate of descent in half. The other two will drop as we begin our ascent. The fourth is for emergency.
Light from above. It's fading. It's fading so quickly. First it was green, now blue. Now that's going. It's fading. Fading. Why, it's totally black out there.
Amazing, isn't it? We're only down 400 feet. Most people don't realize it, but probably 95% of all the oceans exist in total darkness.
What's that I'm seeing out there?
Well, keep looking. You'll see quite a show, Mr. Hugo. Those streaks of light, those are bioluminescent zooplankton. They're mostly microscopic. Pretty soon you should start seeing those glowing skeleton fish that look so ghastly.
There goes one now!
There'll be others. It's our light that attracts them. They've never seen anything manufacture its own light quite like we do. I'll tell you what, I'll switch to red cabin light so you can see out more easily.
How's it going?
We just passed 800. We're watching a light show at the moment.
You remember to pack your lunch?
Ham sandwiches and dill pickles, we got them.
Okay, have a good rest. I'll check back with you just before you arrive. Let's call anytime you get lonely. You know, I always enjoy everything. Long distance calls.
Right, over and out.
Amazing, look at them all.
Quite a sight, isn't it?
Mm. Mr. Smalley, did I hear you mention ham sandwiches?
Yes, sir. They're right behind you there in that locker.
Oh, yes. Well, I believe I'll just help myself. Excuse me. Are they still out there?
Oh, yes, sir. Plenty of them. Quite a sight watching them come slithering up from out of the darkness, peering in at us through the portholes. It's a good thing they don't have a mirror to see how ugly they are. Or maybe they're thinking the same thing about us.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. I like that. I'll use that in my book. What's that?
Oh, that's our echo locator telling us how far off the bottom we are. That sound, that's us. And wait just a second. Here, that sound coming back up is the bottom. Sound travels at about 4,000 feet per second underwater, so it takes that long for the sound to bounce off the bottom and come back up. Gives you an idea of how deep we're going.
Well, this sandwich is just right. I believe it's time... for a nap. I'm sure you'll wake me in time so I'm not missing anything.
Yes, sir.
Good night, Smalley.
Good night. Sir, before you go to sleep, I wonder, your foot is sort of digging into my ribs.
Mr. Smalley, I don't like to remind you that your foot is also pressing against my outer arm. It's bound to be an uncomfortable trip, so let's make the most of it. By not complaining.
Yes, sir.
Good night, Smalley.
Landing, sir. We're just about there. We're about 150 feet off the bottom now. In a few seconds, I'll release a quarter of our ballast. That'll allow us to settle down gently.
Present rate of descent, 1.53. Release in 5 seconds.
Roger. Ready.
3, 2, 1. Let her go.
Ballast away. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did you feel anything?
Nothing but your foot, which is still pressing against.
Wait, I didn't either. It didn't let go. We're not slowing up. What's going? We're not slowing up.
I am still showing
1.53.
Better slow it down.
What is it?
It's not releasing.
Do something!
Nothing's responding.
Do something, you fool!
Nothing's responding!
Do something!
It's too late!
Do something!
It's too late! Mr. Hugo, get off me!
Mr. Smalley! Shh, listen! We're taking on water. Water's coming in.
No!
We're sinking! We're going to drown!
Stop it! Stop it! We're not sinking.
We're not?
No, it's only condensation. It forms inside the hull during descent. we landed, we jarred a lot of it loose, but we're not sinking. Titanium, remember? We're much too strong for that.
That's right. We're titanium.
We're in the mud.
Happy.
I can't tell for sure. The bottom and side ports are covered. I can see water above us through the overhead.
Want us to try pulling you out?
No, no, that might damage the cable. I'm going to try powering us out. We're not in too deep. There's not too much suction.
Suction?
You know, like when you step in the mud and lose your shoe. The question is, can we pull ourselves out by our own bootstraps? Okay, here goes. Engaging one. Engaging two. Engaging three. Damn, that one's jammed. Engaging four.
Mr. Smalley, we're not moving.
Now we go pull up.
It's not working. We're not moving.
Wait.
You'll burn up the engine.
No, wait. Wait.
Wait. Wait! It's working. It is working. I feel it. It's working. It's working.
Oh, we're out. Oh, man, we're out.
Very good, Mr. Smalley.
Well, we almost didn't make it.
I still can't see out. Are you sure we're...
Look at the altimeter. We're 10 feet up. Just wait a second and the current will clean us off.
Damage report?
Nothing so far. Even the jammed rotor looks like it's worked itself free. I don't know. Either the balance clamp wouldn't release or there's something wrong with the circuit board. I tried rerouting the command, but... Oh! The balance just let go? It wasn't working and it just did?
Look, Dad, why don't we think about calling it a day? Start again tomorrow.
Well, it's up to you, Mr. Hugo.
You mean go all the way back up?
It might be a good idea to check things over from the outside.
Oh, I see. And how far are we from the debris field?
Well, we should be pretty close right where we are.
And you say there's no damage?
Well, there's nothing we can tell from in here, but I really think it would be a good idea.
Oh, yes, I'm sure you do, Mr. Smalley. I'm sure you would love to check things over and thereby add another day's diving to the bill.
No, please, sir, I'm just...
But since I am the one who's paying for this expedition, not you, I don't think we'll give up just yet.
I assure you, sir...
And I assure you that we will stick around and select a few small items before we start up. This day will not have been a total loss.
Yes, sir.
I'll watch outside. You steer. Besides, I'm not about to have come this far without getting at least one look at the Titanic.
Craig, I think we've decided to look around down here a little while before calling it quits. Can you give us our position and bearing on the target?
Okay. Here's how I got you. Large target approximately 200 meters northwest of your present position, most likely the bow section. There is another target of comparable size approximately 700 meters southwest, probably the stern. Pivot right, 45 degrees. Keep going. Stop there. Okay, now you're pointing straight at it. Follow that head, and you should run right into it.
Where do we look for debris?
Practically anywhere, I guess. It's supposed to be scattered all around. Well, why don't we head for the bow, and I'm sure we'll pass over plenty along the way.
How's the visibility down there?
Well, we got a headwind of about a half knot. It's like a mild winter snowstorm out there. I'd say 30 feet visibility maximum. 20 is clear. After that, it starts getting a little murky.
Okay. Good hunting. Call me if you need me.
Exciting. I'm getting excited, aren't you? I mean, I've waited for this. So long I've waited for this. I don't see anything yet. Nothing but mud. Wait, stones. Wait, no, wait. Wait, there's something. There's something.
What is it?
I can't tell. Oh, never mind. Go on, go on. I can't tell what it is. We don't want it, do we? It's no good for the exhibit. Wait. There's something. What is it? It looks like... Stop!
It's a mirror. A lady's hand mirror.
Get that. Get it. Pick it up. You want that for sure, yes. Careful. Don't scratch it.
Look at it. Such a perfect condition. As if it just slid off the settee instead of falling 2 miles underwater.
Stowed, sir.
Very good. Let's go on. Keep going. What's that? No. Keep going. There's more. More coming up. Look. There's...
Champagne.
Stop. Get it. You must have champagne for the exhibit. Just one bottle. Perfect. Oh, I feel so giddy. So giggly. I feel like I just drank it myself. Imagine a bottle of champagne from the Titanic.
Stowed, sir.
Good boy. Keep going. I'll tell you when. What's there? What's that? There's a shoe. Get that shoe. Oh, that's good. Yes, a shoe. Oh, that will look great in the exhibit.
Stowed, sir.
Keep going. Look at it all. There's so much sliding by beneath us. There's so much. Can you believe it? There's too much. But no, wait. We'll have to be careful. We'll have to be more selective. Only the good stuff. No more shoes. You hear me, Mr. Smalley? No more shoes.
Yes, sir.
This is so exciting. Now something silver. Find me something silver. Silver platter. A silver vase. A wine bucket. Something like that. Wait. What's that? Stop! Over there. Look. What is that?
What is it, sir?
I know what it is. You know exactly what that is. It's perfect. That will be the perfect centerpiece for the exhibit.
What is it, sir?
It's Artemis. Artemis. The goddess of the hunt. It was on the Titanic when she went down. Carefully, boy.
It's a little hard to get hold of.
Easy.
Oh, sir, it keeps slipping.
Easy.
There. Okay, I think I've got it.
Keep it up. Oh, don't drop it. Look at it. It's in such perfect condition. Look at her. Reaching back to take an arrow from her quiver. Why, nothing's damaged. Nothing's broken. Not even a chip. The perfect centerpiece for the exhibit.
And stowed, sir.
Oh, very good. Very good, Mr. Smalley. Very nicely done. Now more. Let's keep going. This is proving more profitable than I... Wait! What's this? Slow up. Look.
What is it?
Do you know what I'm seeing?
No, sir.
Do you know what those are?
No, sir.
Teacups. It's a whole rack of teacups. Can you imagine how perfect teacups from the Titanic? Get them all!
Yes, sir.
Don't you drop them?
Yes, sir. No, sir, I won't.
My. You're doing an excellent job, Smalley.
Thank you, sir.
When we get back to the surface, we'll have to think seriously about giving you one. I mean, why not? After all, you've got us out of the mud.
Yes, sir.
What's that?
I don't know.
Where's it coming from?
I don't know.
What is that?
An underwater landslide, maybe? Craig, are you hearing what we're hearing? Craig, I'm not reading you.
Why aren't they answering?
Plumber 2?
Why aren't they answering?
My God, that's no landslide.
What is it?
Well, there's only one thing it can be.
What?
That explains why we're not getting through.
What?
We can't go back to the ship because the ship is coming to us.
Smalley,
listen.
Do something. Get us out of here. If the ship is coming down, it could land on us. We'll be crushed. We'll be buried.
Well, where do I go?
Anywhere. Go somewhere. Run!
Claire, you don't understand. It's coming from 2.5 miles above us. It won't fall straight down. It'll flutter. I could just as easily steer under it as away.
Mr. Smalley, it's coming.
Try something first.
What's that?
It's a magnetometer. It can tell us if there are any large metallic objects nearby. Something's out there. It might be the bow section of the Titanic. I don't know. I've lost my bearings. We've got to go see.
Couldn't we bring you back to the surface? We can find out the same thing.
No, no. We've got to go look. It's not far. You keep watching.
Mr. Smalley, I really think...
Keep watching! 30 meters? 20? You should start seeing it.
I don't see anything. I don't see. There's something out there. Something's out there. Slow up! Slow up!
What is it?
I don't know. You look.
The ship. It's the Titanic.
Is it? Are you sure?
Look at the rust. Look at the hull. Look at the anchor. It's covered with rusticles.
You're right. Jesus. Let's get up. Let's go up. Let's get out of here.
No, wait a minute, though.
Wait for what? Let's get out.
Look out. Look out there. Wait, I'm going to turn it so we can see.
Smoke. No. No.
Look over there. Look at the way the sediment's flowing.
So what?
It's snowing so much harder than before. Look
so
at it.
What?
But the bottom current hasn't changed.
So?
So something must have disturbed the bottom.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
We've got to go see.
See what? Smalley!
We're out of the lee now. Something's out there. Look at the magnetometer.
No, Smalley, what is it?
Keep watching.
Smalley, I don't want to look. I don't want to know. I can't see. Watch out!
Oh! Oh, Mr. Hugo. Oh, Mr. Hugo. It's us. It's the Glommer, too. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Blowing main tank.
Let's go.
Releasing ballast. Release one. Release two.
Oh, we're going up. We're picking up speed.
Release three.
Going up. I can't see the bottom. The ship is disappearing. It's going. It's gone.
Thank God.
It's gone.
I don't know. I don't know how this could have happened. I don't want to think about it.
How could it happen? You're right.
I don't know.
But we're going up. Yes, we're going up. How much longer till we reach...
Sir, get off.
I'm trying.
Get off,
please. I'm trying. It's not easy. We're upside down.
Sir.
Oh, shut up. What happened? We're not going up.
It's the tether. I forgot. We're still connected. I forgot to release it.
Well, do it. Release us.
You'll have to reach. I can't.
Will you move your head? Move your head.
Okay.
This one?
Yes. Remove that cover.
This one here?
Yeah. Now, throw that switch.
Ah! Smalley, the lights! What's happened to the lights?
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. Nothing. I didn't even touch the switch. Smalley, we need light.
Wait a minute. Wait. There's a flashlight around here somewhere.
Smalley! Light.
No. Our main batteries are dead. They're all drained.
How could that happen?
I don't know. Salt water leaking in. I don't know.
Oh, my God. We've lost our power. Now that switch won't work.
That's all right. We can do it manually. Let me do it. Can you move?
I'm trying. Wait a minute. Wait.
it is. Is it loose? It's coming. It's nearly there. There. Watch it. Watch it. We're coming out right. Mr. Hugo, please. Your knee.
What happened? What happened? We stopped again.
Mr. Hugo, please get off me.
Oh, shut up. We're sideways. Why are we sideways?
Oh, ouch.
Swally, we are not going up. Why?
Back.
On what?
The cable.
But you released
it. It must have caught on something as it was sliding over the hull.
On what?
I don't know. Come on. Let me look out with the flashlight. I can't see. It's just out of sight.
Well, do something. You're the pilot. Do something.
Okay. Okay. There's one chance. Actually, two, but it depends.
On what?
There are explosive bolts holding the robot arms in place. We can blow them. The cable could be snagged on one of the arms, but even if it isn't, the force of the explosion may be enough to shake us loose. We'll be cutting off our arms to do it, but without the power, they're useless anyway. The only question is, should we do them separately or together? One blast might not be enough, but two together means we can't try it twice. Okay. Okay, what should we do?
I don't know. Blow them separately!
Okay. You ready?
There goes the arm. It's falling off. It didn't work! Try it again! No, we're still caught, Smalley. What are we going to do? Try rocking. Rock this thing.
No.
Rock it.
No. No, stop it. Let me think. If we could take some tension off the cable, but without the ballast, they're going to want to go up, even if I flood the tanks. But without power, I can't.
Smalley.
Wait. There's one thing.
What?
Okay, one last thing we can try.
Try it. What is it?
There may be a little juice left in the batteries. If I run them all together, there may be enough to operate the mercury pump.
Try it.
With that, we can change our trim.
Try it.
Which then may be enough to unhook.
Try it!
Okay, let's see. All right, how do I do this? Feed numbers 1 through 6. And number 12. Throw this. Okay. Now we try the pump. It's working. Barely. But it's working.
It's reaching for two.
Now we wait.
Smalley, we're moving. We're tipping forward. Oh, this is going to work. I just know it's going to work. It's going to work, yes.
I'm looking out this side. The flashlight isn't doing much good. We're coming around. At least I'll be able to see what we're going to...
Wait! Stop! Stop! Wait! Oh. We're losing! Stop!
We're not stopping!
My precious cups are falling out. Oh, they're gone. Oh, my precious cups are gone. Shut up! Shut up! Why are you laughing? You did this! Shut up!
Look out there. Look! Look what we're caught on.
Look!
The statue. We're caught on the arm of the statue.
You see, it was your doing, not mine. Your greed, that's what got us into this. Your greed and my stupidity forever listening to you.
No! No! You were the one! You should have released the cable before we started up.
You were the one who said try the charges separately.
Well, why did you listen to me? You're the pilot. You're in charge here.
Oh, I'm in charge now.
Yes.
Is that it? I'm in charge? Well, then get your foot off of me. Stop it.
Smalley, wake up. Smalley.
Molly. Molly, where's the flashlight?
I can't see. Molly, I can't really be alone. I can't stand the darkness. Somebody. Smalley. Smalley, wake up. You can be in charge. Please, wake up, Smalley. 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 Smalley.
Titanic exhibit returns in triumphant style. After languishing in a museum warehouse for almost a century, the forgotten relics from the sunken luxury liner Titanic made a dramatic reappearance this week as part of a 12-nation, 20-city tour that is attracting throngs of the curious at every step along the way. The Titanic exhibit, first assembled in the year 1989 and sent round the world, initially attracted hundreds of thousands of ticket buyers. In time, however, as the novelty wore off and public interest waned, the objects came to be stored in the basement of a Paris museum. Until recently, when for the first time in 96 years, the public spotlight returns and the huge crowds are back. Just look at this line extending round the block at Exhibition Center in New York. But just what is it that is causing all the excitement? Let's go down and take a closer look. Entering at the front door, we pass the silver platters, the teacups, and the endless row of items on display. Till at the back we enter the dark and crowded room, where a crowd of anxious ticket buyers is about to witness the unveiling of the centerpiece of the exhibit. Moving through the crowd and taking up a spot directly behind the velvet ropes, we wait for the unveiling. The moment arrives. The curtains are parted. And there it is. The Hugo One. Floating in its own specially constructed aquarium, the Hugo One, antique submarine named for Hugo Legrand, famed adventurer of his day, whose body, along with the body of his pilot, lie in perfect state inside the hermetically sealed container. Hugo Legrand. The great Hugo, as he was known, and for whom the word Hugotist was coined, has lain suspended underwater in a thermoseal time capsule. In perfect darkness, far away from harmful sunlight and in a constant temperature of 33 degrees. Look inside and see him now exactly as he was then. Even the uneaten ham sandwich in the foreground remains as fresh today as it was almost a full century ago. But let us move on now as the crowd behind grows impatient, each one wanting his chance to peer into yesteryear and observe the perfectly preserved specimen of the enormous Hugo, encased inside a bubble of steel.
You have been listening to Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater's presentation of Mr. Hugo's Night to Remember. The actors in tonight's play, Doug Credit played the great Hugo, Stephen Russell played Smalley, the sailor and the anchorman, Michael Mellor was Robin Leach and the newsreel announcer, Jim Granlin was Craig and the sailor, Carol McManus played Dame Eva Hartley,
Alan Nelson was the captain. Tonight's play was written and directed by Stephen Thomas Oney. Audio engineer, Edwin Hurwitz. Sound effects engineer, Dave Goodman. Live music by Eddie Shear. Sound effects by John Colletti, Lynn Colletti, Debbie Oney, Rich Gady, and Tony Baker. Recorded July 15, 1989 at the Woods Hole Community Hall. Copyrighted by Stephen Thomas Oney for Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater. This program is dedicated to Robert Ballard, Martin Bowen, and the rest of the crew of the Noor, who had the daring to go and find it and the dignity to leave it alone. This is George McConville wishing you a pleasant evening and inviting you to tune in again when the fog rolls in on another chapter of Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater.